Dang it. What was I saying? The human dongle.
Oh, get your finger out of my eye.
Way better now that you've stopped touching it.
Yes, I was...
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
So today was day 7 at the Capitol for many teachers. What a lot of people don't realize is that it's a long, exhausting day of standing in the wind, marching, chanting, and it really just takes a lot out of a teacher. Here, I'm catching up with Miss Vanessa Perez, the most amazing, in my book, educator in Oklahoma. She is into everything professional development and everything makerspace, everything library. She does research like crazy. She reads books like it's going out of style. Anyway, the Vanessa Perez, she sounds exhausted at first, you can tell, but she really picks up in the conversation later when we start talking about these passion-driven things and what's really mattering to us.
Dorks United.
Dorks United. ENTPs United.
Oh, gosh.
That was a lot of fun, right?
Uh-huh.
All right.
Sorry, I'm yawning in your face.
You're yawning in the face of Oklahoma.
Oh. Now I'm double sorry.
Are you good to go?
Am I going where?
No, are you good to record?
As long as you don't make me, like, in the car, then we're good.
No, I'm in the car, actually. So we're double carsing it.
Well, no, I'm not double carsing it quite yet, but I will be. So that's good stuff.
All right. Well, so I had this idea today. I was like, I haven't asked origin stories, so I'm going to ask you. You're my first. What is your origin story for education?
Oh, gosh. Well, my mom was a teacher. Actually, my grandmother was a teacher, too.
Wow, third gen?
Yeah, I'm third gen. So, of course, I said I was never going to teach. This is actually kind of timely because I met my best friend at the Capitol today, and we kind of were reflecting on that because we graduated from high school in Lawton together, and we were roommates in college together, and neither of us was an education major.
What was your major?
Mine was English and history. I doubled. And she was English and physics, I think. Or no, she was English and math.
And now, you said you met up with her today. Is she a teacher as well?
She is a teacher. She is also the daughter of two teachers.
Wow.
So that's, you know, we said we would never do this to ourselves.
And here you are.
Yes. We both went alt-cert. I think she went alt-cert like the year after I did.
And so did you go alt-cert immediately, or like what was your process?
No. I was originally going to go to law school.
Of course you were. Of course you were.
Yeah, for copyright law. And then I kind of like, I was like, I need a break. I'm going to go home. And I worked at a bookstore, and I did some other stuff, and then my best friend's mom, actually, this is her fault, was like, hey, you're good with technology. We really need a person to work with our teachers. We just got a bunch of MacBooks. We're not sure what to do with them. You want to come do that? And I was like, okay, sure, I can do that for a semester.
And when was that?
I don't know. 2004.
Wow, good.
And I was like, yeah, after a while or whatever, I'll just decide what I want to be when I grow up. And then I did that for a while, and then I became a teacher.
I love it. Well, good. And so you've hosted several chats before. What made you host this chat?
And Beck texted me and said, will you please host the chat next week?
She's kind of hairy like that.
And she said something, though, about, like, what's your topic? And I was kind of like, gee, could you give me, like, 20 minutes?
And so how did you land on the topic? Like, I know this stuff sits in your brain because we've talked. So, like, how did you do this? And I know you also omitted questions. So talk to me about that.
So part of it came from thinking about, you know, we were in the midst of a lot of turmoil because of the impending walkout, you know?
Yeah.
And at the time that I had kind of started planning it, we hadn't walked out yet. We were also, you know, pretty close to the Parkland shooting, you know, the subsequent March for Life and student movement. And I was thinking a lot about platforms, because there has been a lot of discussion on why are the students of Parkland being, like, so touted as, like, as if they're the first teenagers to ever try to start a protest movement.
Right, right.
There's been, you know, I'm pretty sure the Freedom Riders were made of teenagers and you know, and young people.
Exactly.
And then, you know, lots of movements have had that. But in even more recent years, we've had tons of active Black teenagers, you know, in answer of all the shootings and just of violence and police brutality. There have been so many of those movements, and a lot of people are saying, why are we acting like this is a new thing? What about them is different, you know? And of course, people are then talking about race privilege and wealth privilege, and that's a conversation we totally need to have, and that the teenagers are also cognizant of, which to me, that's more power to them. So I found all this stuff, like, roiling around in my brain, also, along with some of the instances of disciplining of those teenagers that I've heard of across the country. So in light of our own walkout, which, yes, is legal because of the work stoppage, you know, clauses or what have you,
but
how can we perceive student walkouts as something deserving of discipline when we're marching out ourselves?
Okay, I did not connect any of those dots the other night. Is that just me?
No, I think some of that had to do with the way I moderate.
Okay.
I kind of wanted it to be open. Just because that's where I'm thinking doesn't mean that's where the conversation has to head.
Okay.
I would, you know, like, maybe for some of those ideas to come up organically, but I'm not going to try and plant them. If I do, I'm going to do it, like, as myself. I'm not going to try and do it in my moderator role. And also, I was trying to be not completely on the nose hitting people on the head.
Okay, and I'm so...
Sorry.
No. I saw, like, so the survey, how did that come out? And how many people used the anonymous chat? I loved your idea of going anonymous. How many people used that?
Only two.
Okay.
So I was good.
Every question?
I just wanted to offer that opportunity.
Yeah, sure. Did they use it for every question, or there were only two questions?
Uh-huh. Only two, and they were two different people, two different questions. Different people that I know of, but the writing styles were very different, so I assumed it was two different people.
And on the survey of where people's social justice radar was, what are people thinking about? What was overwhelming on your survey?
Themselves.
Oh,
Okay.
People are thinking of themselves. I mean, because when I made that survey, yes, I did kind of like look up, hey, what are the hot issues, and kind of was thinking about stuff that had occurred to me, but I also wanted to put things that maybe didn't sound like Flint water crisis was on there, and racism was on there, you know, police brutality was on there, but I put stuff as well that was like family, that doesn't necessarily have a negative, you know, connotation to it. And then, but I was super surprised that higher cost, or the rising cost of higher ed made it in the top three.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
Huh.
I wish I had the numbers in front of me.
Well, I mean, I'm pleased with you just knowing off the top of your head where they were. What was the number one issue?
I think the number one was family.
Okay.
Dang it. Now I really want to look it up.
If you want to tell me later, I can edit it in. But that's interesting to me.
Okay,
now...
You're kind of breaking up now.
I'm breaking up?
Okay, now you're clear.
Okay. On your questions, did you have a favorite question that you asked
okay,
that you were...
Wait. Sorry. Number one was public education.
Okay.
Number two was family. Three was the school-to-prison pipeline. Four was the rising cost of higher ed.
Okay.
And then number five was a tie. Racism, Black Lives Matter, gun control, and child abuse.
All right.
Yeah.
Education, probably because it's an education Twitter chat and we were about to walk out. Or we were walking out. The next day.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, but no, by the time we had when I came up with the idea, we hadn't walked out yet. By the time we had the chat, we had walked out for a full week.
Yes, we were six. Okay, good. And so today was day
seven.
Yes, because today is... Okay, my days are running together these days.
Yeah.
How do you think it's going? Do you think we're being heard? What are your feelings on this?
My feelings are strong, but I mean, they change from time to time. I was talking to someone about this today, like, because, you know, I believe OHP estimated our numbers at 50,000 yesterday, and they definitely have risen. I was there the first day. The first Monday, and then I went to Texas, so I wasn't there the rest of the week. And then I went again yesterday, the second Monday, and I cried. I was like tearing up as we were approaching the Capitol, and I was seeing all the crowds and the families and the signs and how everything had spread.
Yeah.
Because it was such a dramatic increase.
Well, and there are still people here protesting on our corners in Tulsa that are not, like, able to make it to the Capitol for whatever reason. I mean, there are still things here, too.
In several towns.
Yeah. So, I mean...
And I think that's amazing.
It is amazing. It's crazy to see it. I got to see Aaron Baker's speech from today. The Tulsa group made it in today, and that was really moving. I watched your video. And then I watched Baker's speech through Josh Flores' Twitter, and I just kind of was insanely moved. Because, like, you could see his exhaustion throughout the week. You could hear his anger kind of coming through as the week went on. He got energized with Gist, and then he just really put it out there today. And I'm impressed with how on point he was able to stay. Knowing, I mean, he may have been preparing a speech the whole time, but, you know, I don't know.
So, to me, being at the Capitol is really, like I said, it's strong, but it's kind of ups and downs. And I love that we're all there and that we're together and there's common cause. And I love that we're all teachers, so we're doing stuff like you go to the bathroom in the Capitol building and there's a corner full of plastic shopping bags of toilet paper.
Oh, they're
so
stocking
teachers
it
too.
I love it.
Huh?
I love that.
That's what teachers do. We bring our own toilet paper. Like, I brought my own trash bags, you know.
That's awesome.
I think that's the measure of teachers. Like, we don't expect somebody to bring us our own toilet paper.
Right.
That's the you know, that's public schools in Oklahoma. We just don't expect it. If it's there, great. Thank you. But it's that teacher attitude of, I'll provide.
So, switching back to the chat, what was your favorite question of the night? Or did you have a favorite question? Or did you even use the question, your favorite question?
I don't think, I don't know. It's a weird thing. Because I had questions that I took out.
Right.
There were questions that directly prefaced the walkout. And did people feel like their teacher voices were heard? Or were they stifled because, you know, teachers get treated like workers. So do you feel like, I wanted to ask questions speaking to that, like, do you feel like your teacher voice stifles your other voices? Or, you know, do you feel like there's unity? Or do you feel like in any job, like, you know, you still have to be a professional. You still have to represent your employee. Do you ever feel like those two in sync in such a way that you feel oppressed?
Right. Like you can't be yourself.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And when I see that on people's, just even on their Twitter feed, like my thoughts do not represent my school. My thoughts do not represent my business. And just like the idea that you have to say that is oppressive. I mean, it's oppressive.
Which is interesting because, I mean, I personally feel, and I'm seeing a lot of other people put this out too, like, if you are not yourself, if you are not being authentic, if you feel like you have to hide parts of yourself, you can't make connections with and be successful. You can't, because there's something missing. And I felt like that was something that was really celebrated with Adam Rippon in the Olympics.
Okay, I didn't watch the Olympics. Tell me about it.
Oh, I didn't watch the Olympics entirely, too. I watched, like, him and the snowboarder, Chloe Kim. And so Adam Rippon was the first, I believe, openly gay, Olympic American athlete, like, gay, like, and competing with that being known.
Okay.
We had two this year, Adam Rippon and Gus Kenworthy. And he's a bit of a different, like, he's just very, like, flamboyant and, like, almost in the way that is frequently stereotyped and lambasted, where for a lot of, I think, gay people, they feel like they have to adjust or dial down their personalities to be accepted.
And he didn't.
Like,
he was
otherwise
just unabashed.
Made into a caricature. No, I think he was just at the point where he's like, I am who I am. And he's hilarious. Like,
okay.
His tweets are comic gold. And people just connect with him because it's like he's free. Because he doesn't have to hide anything anymore.
All right.
And I think that holds true when, like, whether you're talking about sexual identity or gender identity or whatever.
What was the question I asked to get us here? I mean, I'm loving that we're here, but that's...
Sarah and I ramble.
I like listening to you. Okay, what are you reading right now? I saw you bring home, like, 1,000 books from Texas. What are you reading right now?
I am reading The Poet X by Elizabeth Acevedo.
And tell me a little bit about it.
I'm not that far into it, but so far it's about a girl named Xiomara who is, her parents are from DR, they're from the Dominican Republic, and she's a young girl living in New York, and it's written entirely in verse, and it's an interesting one as well. It's just, like, so far just talking about her family and her situation, but it's an interesting one so far, not just because it's in verse, but because, some of it's in Spanish.
Okay.
And it's like not Spanish with your little like translation at the bottom.
And not Spanglish.
No, not Spanglish.
So are you looking it up or do you know Spanish?
I would never ever claim to like be fluent or talk to anyone in Spanish.
But can you read the book?
Spanish is pretty darn. My reading Spanish is good, and my like Spanish slang is pretty good.
Of course it is, Vanessa. You never cease to amaze me. I'm just saying, every day I love you a little bit more, and I'm not surprised by that at all.
Oh, I am slow, though. I'm not fluent. I would never claim or try to speak. I'd be like, I talk like a five-year-old. and not like a fluent Spanish, like Hispanic, Mexican, or Puerto Rican five-year-old. I have the vocabulary and it's not good.
That's funny. any new edu heroes in your world?
Right now, there's a makerspace lady out of Texas, Ro Menendez. She's like makerspace librarian, and she's doing amazing things, and she got me onto the author, Max Brower. He's like a kid's author, but between, knowledge that they've been dropping and not, I'm just going to say, the entire Project Lit Chat is also my edu hero, that whole group.
Okay.
Is doing great things and, making me reevaluate myself. I thought that I was a strong proponent of, student choice in reading and very anti reading levels and et cetera, and they brought to light to me some biases I didn't know, and I was like, I've got to do work.
Okay, good to know. I loved when you came home from Texas with all your books. You opened the library. Schools are shut down, but you're like, hey guys, I'm going to be here. Did anybody show up?
I did have a couple show up, and what really cracked me up, though, was one of them really did sniff the books. I did say, and he was like, in the tweet, you said we could come smell the books. I was like, okay. And then another one was grounded. And so he was only allowed to go to school events. And so he hadn't been allowed to leave the house because there hadn't really been school events. And so when he saw my tweet, he had to he told his mom, and she didn't believe him. But so he had to show her the tweet. And so he was allowed to leave the house.
Oh my word. That is hilarious. Just got that guy a social experience, and it was all surrounded by books. I loved it.
Well, I mean, he's a pretty common visitor to the library, but yeah, we got him out of the house.
And I saw your superintendent was like, I love this. I love that you're doing this. You're amazing. But you're no stranger to compliments from Mr. Heim.
I appreciate whenever he does those, and I don't know how to be graceful accepting a compliment, but I love that he doesn't say it. He doesn't just give those away, you know?
I lost my train of thought 100%. I miss you. I miss hanging out with you.
I'm glad. I miss it. Oh, I don't want you to be I don't miss hanging out with you. It's horrible. Well, nightmare.
I do. I do miss hanging out with you. I love it when we are able to get together. And I felt like at EdCamp OKC, we were together-ish, but we didn't really get to do much that day.
Yeah. So, okay, I'm going to tie this back to the whole Capitol thing.
Yeah, do it.
So that's been kind of nice because I've gotten to see a ton of people that I don't usually get to see.
Okay, I have been a little jealous of that.
There are people from all over.
Yeah.
And so I was part of the big batch of OKSci math leadership, and they all met up. I didn't get to meet them all because I was coming in late, but they took a huge group picture, but I saw a bunch of them. I've gotten to see a ton of people from Lawton.
That you haven't seen in a while, probably.
I'm sorry?
That you haven't seen in a while, probably.
Yeah, I've gotten to see a ton of people that I haven't seen in a long time. And I actually got to meet Aaron Baker in person.
He's cool.
I had never met him in person before. And that first Monday, somebody was singing, protest songs. And I was like, oh, this is cool. And then I looked at the stage and I squinted and I was trying to remember what Aaron Baker's Twitter picture looked like. And I was like, that's Aaron Baker. And I like ran up there.
I was at OMLEA this year, and my students were presenting there. And I was talking with somebody, and behind me I hear, I know that voice. And it was so it was so weird. And he was like, and so that was the first time we met IRL.
That's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
That's very, very cool. Yeah, and like, I ran up to him like after his speech thing to give him props. And I was just like, hopefully made sense. But I was just like, yay. But at the same time as you have that, and you have, so you're seeing people you like love and adore and, you know, are meeting for the first time, but you know them over the internet. And you're seeing that, and you're also like getting that great sense of togetherness and camaraderie, and people are eating together and people are being nice, and you know, all this. You, to me, it's like ups and downs, because there would be times where I would have to get away from the crowd, you know,
yeah,
and be in my head, or be like, is what we're doing here really helpful?
And so what do you think on that? Is it really helpful?
I don't know. Like, it was a very late decision for me to join the delegation, because in my head, I was like, you can't go. You need to be with your students. We need to start on this robotics unit, because we've got a class coming in, and I've got to get the Makerspace kit trained, and you just came back from conference, and you have all this stuff you need to take care of. I can't go. I can't miss. I don't want to go. And then the more I thought about it, and the more I heard about how few people we were sending, I was just like, you know what, Perez, you got to suck it up, because nobody wants to go.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to be there. And like, they have like 120 kids, so you can't say all this stuff that you've been saying and then say, you know, feel that it's this important and then not go.
Right, right.
So, but then you go and there are just these moments of, is anyone listening? Well, if they're not listening, then maybe I can reach out to enough other people and advocate. Because there were some guys that I met at lunch who were pastors with a podcast or something, and they were asking about things like consolidation.
And so what do you think about that? I mean, on it, okay, it's going to sound like I'm moving for a second because I do have to walk in and pick up my kid.
It's cool.
What do you think about consolidation? We've got like 520 districts, which means 520 superintendents, you know, is that too much?
There are smarter people than me who have written out the math, and I know that there are people who have figured out our administrative costs are like 4%, really.
Right, right.
Or something, but I can tell you anecdotally, like, I feel like my Clinton district runs really lean for administration.
Sure, but you hear about districts that have, like, a superintendent over 69 kids or 120 kids, and I was like, man, I had more school.
Those superintendents do other things. Like, my little brother went to Flower Mound in down near Lawton. But you know what? That superintendent was also a bus driver. That superintendent also did, like, all these other things. So, like, because I've lived in a city, and I've been in a small district now, and it's a different kind of job. It changed. You do what you have to do to keep your district running. It's not a, you know, sitting in your office kind of thing. And also, when you think about how spread out we are, like, how long do you want those kids to be on a bus? You know, if our districts are that big. Or another one that came up with is sometimes when our small towns lose their high schools,
yeah,
like, they lose their heart and their identity.
Well, and I do know, I've got some friends, they send their kids to a small K-8, you know, that's an independent district, but I mean, they're getting just this amazing education. And then you think, well, gosh, why can't other kids get that amazing education? But, you know, I don't know. I go back and forth on it, but...
Yeah, that's my whole thing, too. Like, well, my brother, like what I was talking about, he went to a K-6 school. No, wait, he went to... Yeah, it was a K-6 school district. And my mom works at a K-school 6 district. Like, she works for, oh, crap, I'm so bad. My brother went to Bishop, and my mom works at Flower Mound. I got those confused.
Okay.
but they've both gone to small ones, and the experience is different. But I would say, like, to have... I wouldn't stop it. Isn't that almost like a school choice thing, too?
I think it is. I really do. If it really is only 4%, then it doesn't make sense to get rid of that choice at all.
I wouldn't be a superintendent. I see what superintendents have to deal with.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
What they do, and I'm glad it takes all kinds.
But then how do you listen?
Like, all these, like, things, like the school finance piece, I just sit there like, what?
Okay, that was one of my most fascinating classes. I loved that in grad school. But how do you sit and listen to Aaron Baker talk about he's there for the kids that he's there for, and then also know that there is a huge population being underserved when there is money in other places that are serving well? Like, it just sucks. And I don't like the way the districts are. I mean, Tulsa, for one, right? It's all ad valorem. But there are schools that are, like, in poverty in Tulsa, and then there are schools that are like, oh, hello. You know, it just seems like it's not distributed.
I'm in a district that's 80% free reduced lunch, but we work our butts off getting, like, all our stuff in so we can get the maximum amount of FET money.
Yeah.
Like, impact aid, all of that. And then, like, we do grants. We write grants. And it's just, I get it. Like, I want the same, like, what my kids have here, I want those same opportunities anywhere.
Right.
You know, in Oklahoma, because my background is an Army brat, so I went to DOD schools in Germany, which were fully funded.
And that's...
You know, they were excellent. So the kind of teacher you get at a DOD school... is an amazing teacher.
Well, and I heard, I think it was Dom on a talk radio program this morning. Let me take back. I don't know it was Dom. I think somebody told me it could have been Dom. So I'm going, it's hearsay. But I listened to it. I didn't know who it was when I was listening to it. And he was like, you know, what we need to do is look at the Finnish model and be a little more like Finland. And then but I was thinking, like, but Finland taxes its people at 50%, like 50% of their taxes. So yeah, if you want to be like Finland, raise taxes or find revenue. But yeah. I don't want to raise taxes. Like, I'm sitting in Arby's. True story. This Saturday, my daughter is at a gymnastics event, and we go to Arby's afterwards. And the Arby's lady was asking my kids, like, are you ready to be back in school? Yada, yada, yada. And of course, their mom is a teacher, so they've been doing school. She's like, oh, are you guys not from Oklahoma? We're like, no, we're from Oklahoma. And she's like, I'd give them that money if I could. I just can't. But I want them to have it. I want them to have it. But I just can't. I don't make enough as it is. And I was like, do you mind if I ask how much you do make? And she's like, well, I make more than anybody here, but I'm at $12.50. And I was like, dadgummit, like, Arby's lady wants to give us money, but how do you take more from her $12.50? It made me sad, but I don't know what to do here, Vanessa.
I don't either, which is why I thought we had legislators.
You're right. Somebody said, we know it's a tough job. I think it was Stephanie Hinton. We know it's a tough job, but that's what you were elected to do.
Yeah.
Is the tough job, so...
Yeah. I don't want to stick my foot in my mouth. Like, it's not a job I could do.
I've thought about it, but then, yeah, I don't want to be interested in anything other than education, personally.
Yeah. But I don't know. Like, back to the whole thing, like, because so I've been to all different, like, kinds of states, though, moving. And so, like, all different, like, kinds of places. So, like, one of my public schools was in Chevy Chase, Maryland. I don't know if you've heard of, but it's like one of the top three affluent, like, towns in the entire country.
Okay.
But it's public school.
Okay.
Okay. And so, like, why is going to that public school have to be so different from going to a public school in Lawton, Oklahoma?
Right.
And okay, yeah, we know why, but that's not what we should want, and that's not what we should aim for. It just makes me sad.
Yeah, I've been worried a little bit about getting blown up on Twitter for saying some of these things, like maybe we should consolidate, maybe we should, and it really hasn't come that way. I think a lot of people feel the way you and I are feeling right now, like, gosh, I know, but, you know, gosh, yeah. I know, but seems to be the biggest thing.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on that, like, I don't want to say right now because I'm like, you know, is it really the time or is it divisive? And we don't need to be, Oklahoma doesn't need to be more divided than it is.
No, I totally agree with that. I totally agree with that. I'm pleased with all the charters that say we're supporting, we're here, we're doing. That did make me happy. So, anyway. All right. Well, any last words?
Before we go,
yeah,
I
want to
say something.
Please.
I don't know if you can find video. I think I have a little bit, but I don't have a lot. But the speakers that we've had that have been students,
yeah,
have been phenomenal.
I've seen a couple. I've enjoyed them. But if you've got videos, send them to me.
I'll have to see if I got good ones. Because you know there's no signal out there if you've got AT&T.
I didn't know that.
Those kids, like, because you could be feeling, like, down in the dumps, like, I don't want to be here. I want to be at school. I'm uncomfortable. You know, I wish I could do something productive. Is what I'm doing, does it matter? And then you listen to those kids, and you're like,
yes.
Can I say? I'm like, you're like, hell yeah, this is why I'm here.
Yeah, you can say that. You're allowed.
Okay. But you're like, that's how I feel about the kids.
Man,
they've been phenomenal, and yeah, it's been really nice. But it's also been like, I try to stay off the internet, try to stay off the feedback, because do you feel like a lot of people feel like the public support, especially of funding of teachers, is predicated on our like sainthood?
Okay, so I have done a lot more digging than I really ever do, because I hate comments. I hate reading the comments. I try to stay away from comments, but I haven't on this one. And I think in the beginning, there was a lot more support. I think once they passed the raise and the, what, 20 million or something, and then teachers didn't go back to the classroom, I've seen it go down. I do think we live in an education bubble. Where we are preaching to ourselves, we're preaching to the choir regularly. And so we're like, of course we agree with each other. But in the comment sections, there are just as many people on their pages saying, thank you so much for not raising my taxes. I support education, but please don't tax me. And so I've seen a lot more of that this week than I did the week before. I've seen downright angry things like, you greedy teachers.
Yeah.
You know, and that frustrates me too. But then you go back to the Twitter chat from 2 weeks ago, what will it take to get you back in the classroom? And the answers were so varied. It was unreal. Like, damn it. We came up with the three things. Like, here are our three things finally for the actual walkout. What are our three things that are getting us back?
But the thing is, we didn't come up with the three things. There's never been, and I mean, we're a big group, complete unification. Like, OEA's got, like, I think their hands on the mic, but there's always been splinters.
There have been splinters, but the overwhelming majority said 10,000, 5,000,
yeah,
and fund education back to 1990.
Yeah.
So that when I said big three, that's what I meant.
Okay.
But
yeah,
when you go into the boards, there is no unifying. These are the three things that will get us back into the classroom.
Yeah.
And I think
that's
what's frustrating. I think that's the biggest thing that's frustrating to parents who still have kids at home, you know. And Vanessa, I've picked up two students this week because of the walkout.
I know.
And that's sad to me too.
Yeah, I've got a friend she's a friend because she used to be a para in my classroom, and she's decided to now homeschool her children. And she was in the system at one time, like, working. And I get it.
Yeah. But I mean, we got to find a unity on, all right, what three things do we agree on that will suffice? And that's the other thing, like, the biggest thing that the you greedy teachers people are like, you don't ever go to a car dealership expecting to pay sticker price. So what made you think you were ever going to get the actual 10 grand? You know, we negotiated and you're at six.
I think most people at this point, most, and I don't know, and I don't, we're not a monolith, and I don't speak for anyone.
Sure.
I think most people are like, cool, teacher raise, I'll take it. But support staff, did we really take care of our support staff?
Apparently and so I haven't seen it, but apparently there was something in there that said they got a little something. It wasn't five grand.
Yeah.
You know, and those are the people that are making the $12 an hour or less. Like, those are the Arby's lady.
Yeah, I never made 12 an hour when I was.
I was the highest.
Like, when I was a para, but that was a long time ago.
I was the highest paid para in Sepulpa at the time before I went into teaching at 12. So that's the only number I've got right there on that one.
Yeah.
But still.
I don't know, but like, how can we be like, hey, we got the raise for ourselves.
Exactly.
We didn't get anything for we got stuff per pupil. It went up. And then this is where I think people have issues with us. They're like, well, how much does it take?
Exactly.
But now I think OEA is saying 50 million.
And so we're at 30 now?
I'm not sure what we're at because they did the repeal on the hotel motel tax thing, but Amazon and Ball and Dice went through, but I haven't looked at the numbers.
Yeah. I'd be interested to see some people throw some, you know, stuff out because,
yeah.
I mean, it feels like if you're out of it for a day, then you're kind of out of it right now.
Yeah. And it's a weird bubble if you're up there because it's like you're there and you should know the latest news. But you have no internet.
That's so crazy.
So it's all like kind of people, like, I feel like we've got a town crier situation.
Yeah. Well, and then so when you're playing elephant, does the information get inflated or deflated as it passes from the first person at the Capitol to the person out in the South Lawn?
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know.
All right. Well, you are now officially my longest interview for Oakland Said.
Cut a lot of that.
No way. This was rich conversation.
I don't want to be held accountable, so I'm like, oh God, what did you say?
No. You didn't say anything that would offend anybody.
I don't know at this point how worried I am about offending people. I don't want to say something stupid.
You didn't say, you're the smartest woman I know.
Stop.
I love you.
I love you too, but don't do that.
Saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma, Oklahoma.